only two more starter sit episodes, but remember, we are podcasting once a week through the offseason, at least once a week. And this episode is supported by Stamps.com, where you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. That's awesome. For a four-week trial, a special $110 bonus offer. Now's the time. We are running out of time. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter the promo code FFT. Happy New Year, guys. It's December 31st. We're going to record our NFC home game show later today. So that will air Friday. But any big New Year's plans or resolutions, fellas?
Going out to dinner with the Londo family from suburban Chicago, Illinois. They're
That's
in town.
That's great. That's great.
And then I'm probably going to sleep right through midnight.
Will you sleep through 11 o'clock?
Maybe.
Will you sleep through 10 o'clock?
No.
So you'll be up from 10 to 11.
I will probably be asleep by 11. And then we'll hear fireworks in our neighborhood because we've got some neighbors that like to light fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll probably wake us. So we'll say Happy New Year and then everybody goes back
to bed. You bleep holes, go to bed.
No.
No.
Get off my lawn, that kind of thing.
As long as they're not firing them from inside my house, I think I'm okay.
Can I tell you that last night I fell asleep from 9 to 11?
Uh-huh.
And then I was up from 11 till 5 a.m.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Any reason why?
Finishing starts it.
Oh, okay.
In week 17, people.
Oh, yeah, I'll be sleeping.
You know, I am trying to figure out some way to watch the football games tonight, the college football semifinals. And
try television.
it's a hard sell because we have – the only hope we have is like we end up going to some party where – her friends are there, and
you don't know where you're going.
I don't think we're going anywhere. We don't really have any plans.
We don't have any. Call the Definos.
We don't have any friends. They're out of town. We don't have any friends that don't live in Manhattan, and I'm not going into Manhattan. So,
oh, that's a good point.
Oh,
yeah. So it's going to be staying
like you're
in.
A loser.
You know what though?
Zoe and your lovely girlfriend Allie.
Speaking
of Allie.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead.
I have heard from a very reliable source.
Oh no! Don't even bring this up. Don't even bring this up.
That you...
Wait, bring what up? I want to hear this.
That you... Dave has no idea what I'm about to say. That you have guided her fantasy team in a league that is just all wives and girlfriends.
Yeah, right.
That you're the only one that cheated.
Okay, that is complete and utter nonsense.
And this league is with...
Who's the commissioner?
The commissioner is Nando's wife. But let me tell you something. Okay, so yeah.
Is she aware of this?
Look... I didn't completely cheat for Allie. I helped her.
Oh, wow, admission.
I helped her a little bit, but the thing is, it's not like I'm not the only one. Okay, let's just say that.
Well, according to the
according to me, he's completely wrong.
Well, it's not Nando.
It should be. It's Sergio.
There's another source. I cannot reveal my sources.
Nah, it's
good reporter never does.
I don't.
Boyfriend
it's not like I just set her lineup and be like, pick this person up, pick that person up. She asks me questions. I give her help. What's wrong with that?
So wait a minute. So you record your podcast at home, our podcast at home.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend is typically home when we record our podcast.
For example, is she home right now?
She's not listening.
But ever. She's home.
She's home. She's sleeping.
So she could have, let's say, a cup to the door.
Yeah, how do you know she's not there with a pad?
How do we know that Zoe's not mic'd up?
Okay.
She just might be a fuzzy microphone.
So today's starter sit for the AFC home games, and we'll talk about which.
No, he's like Belichick. He quickly. Quickly just pushes.
He's
his
deflecting design. Everything away.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving on to the offseason.
Oh yeah.
We're moving on to the AFC.
He's moving
home
on
games.
To New Year's.
We're moving on to the AFC home games. That's my Belichick. Let's read an email at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from John Zabudis. And he says, hey, guys, I love the show most of the time. But on your December 29th podcast, regarding that podcast, the late stat correction for Denard Robinson, completely off base. While rare, it is not unheard of for stat corrections to come late. There absolutely has to be a cutoff time or pure havoc would ensue. All hosting sites have a time that results are official. I was flabbergasted that you all, or most of you, thought the commissioners should go and reinvent week 15, even though week 16 had started. What happens when a stat correction is even later? That was a pick six of advice, and hope to hear a correction so that the lives of us poor commissioners isn't made any more confrontational than it already is.
after listening to this email, I say, you're wrong. You fix it and you let the guy who won win. Sorry, you're wrong.
I still kind of agree with Jamie. This is a good point. Like, there, Dave, you mentioned it. We have a cutoff on CBS Sports.
We do. I believe it's Wednesday evenings.
Yeah, it's
Eastern
tough.
Time. Evening Eastern time.
Well, let me ask you this question. What if there's a stat correction now? There's nothing to be changed outside of the outcome. Week 16, your league ends.
Right.
Stat correction comes, switches the winner.
That would suck.
Then I
but
think
you'd switch the winner, wouldn't you?
I would.
You don't have to change anybody's lineups.
But we're recording this on a Thursday. I don't know if on CBS we wouldn't do it. Like if the league were commissioned by CBS.
One of our free products.
One of or the premium products.
Okay.
Then it wouldn't be changed. The deadline is passed.
Right, one of our non-commissioned
I leagues. Think what's important here is that if you're a commissioner of the league, you should probably have an idea in mind about how you would handle something like this.
I'll tell you exactly. I tied and lost on the tiebreaker.
Right.
If there's a stat correction that would have swayed it the other way, let's just say I would have won and the stat correction swayed it the other way. So forget about the tie. Now the other owner wins.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I have to give the owner the victory.
But at some point, you've got to cut that off. What if the what if the stat correction comes in March?
Then I got to give the owner the victory. I can understand if it comes in March, then going back and redoing the whole thing. That's ridiculous.
Okay, fine.
But what if in this scenario, it's the same thing.
I think a very fair solution, if you don't like what CBS does or what any other commissioner site does, is when kickoff happens of the next week, all of last week's scores are final.
That's fine if that's in place. If there's nothing in place,
right,
and it's just two games in to the week, which I think was the scenario, right?
Right, exactly.
It was Thursday and Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to go back and switch it.
I think if you're a commissioner, you need to make this clear to everybody else in your league. Win stat corrections, have a deadline.
Make the job of the commissioner tough. Well, I mean, come
that's
on.
Not making the job.
No, that's what this guy said.
Well, I mean, you're just making it more like confrontational.
Oh,
because
stop.
Now he's got to. Dude, if it happened in some of my leagues, at least one person would leave the league.
That's fine. Then you're playing with babies.
I do play with babies. All men are babies, except for me. I'm a real man. Now back to our head baby animator.
Okay. You've gotten the wrath of Jamie.
It was good that we were talking so much. He was able to set Ali's lineup for the postseason challenge.
All right. Let me tell you about Sportsline really quickly here, because Sportsline is just dominating right now with college football bowl picks. So they have an A, B, and C grade on every pick against the spread, the over-under, and the money line. And right now those A, B, and C grades are 68 and 31, which is almost 69%. That's ridiculous. The A picks are 13 and 2, 86.7% right now on A picks. I think that's all A picks, yeah. That's spread, money line, and totals. So the totals are 17 and 11. The A picks on the spreads have just been terrific. So sportsline.com/FFT if you want to learn more. Sportsline.com/podcast. Sign up. Just $10 a month. I mean, seriously, you're getting 68%. Now, it's not going to be that good all the time, but you're getting really good value there for $10 a month. Fantasy Football Today, still a show. If you need more help throughout the weekend, you can watch Fantasy Football Today at 11 a.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com on Sunday. In the first hour, simulcast on CBS Sports Radio, and you can listen to our radio show, me and Dave taking it home. Last one of the fantasy football year, Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern till midnight on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen at CBSSportsRadio.com or on your local affiliate. Guys, who's resting players? Do we have any more information about which teams are going to rest their starters this week?
Jay Gruden wouldn't come out and say that he was going to rest his guys, but it looks like he's not going to let Kirk Cousins, Jordan Reed, et cetera, play four quarters.
Okay.
But he's going to let them play, which I think is just dumb to begin with, just to even put them on the field.
There's no chance DeSean Jackson's active.
Right. Anybody, Zero. He said anybody who's banged up isn't going to play.
Zero. Matt Jones not active. He'd be an idiot if he puts Kirk Cousins on the field for a play. He'd be an idiot if he puts Jordan Reed on the field for
Jeez,
a play.
Jeez, Jamie, you are like really, you are fired up today, Jamie Eisenberg.
Well, I mean, realistically, you got Jordan Reed who has dealt with multiple concussions in his career, leg injuries in his career. And all it takes is one stupid thing for him to get hurt, and there goes arguably their best offensive weapon. If Kirk Cousins gets a shot at the knees, something happens to his hand. I mean, look, A.J. McCarron just got
he gets
hit
concussed
and hurt his wrist.
Okay, but
anything can happen.
But sometimes these guys want to get a little bit of work in, not to get rusty. It's like the fourth preseason game, you know?
No, you don't.
You can use practice to do that if you wanted to.
Okay, all right. So I think, you know, maybe Jordan Reed, like if you get a half out of Jordan Reed, are you gonna start him?
No.
Because you don't know if it's a half.
And not only that, but what's the incentive for them? Forget about the fact that they're going to play a half. What's the incentive for them to go out there and run important plays to give extra film to their playoff opponent?
All right.
They will be the most vanilla, boring offense you will ever see.
Okay. Anything else in terms of
wrestling
players?
Or they just run nothing but crazy trick plays.
Anything else other than, with wrestling players other than the Redskins?
No, Pete Carroll said he's going to play his guys, which we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, if it becomes a blowout, then I don't know if they're going to stay in there.
Well, at what point would it become a blowout?
And there's only a specific formula, I guess, like win-loss combination that puts Seattle at Washington because they lost last week.
Well, it's Minnesota losing.
Yeah, Minnesota has to lose, and they have to win.
But if Minnesota loses, and they both lose, Minnesota goes to Washington.
Right.
Yeah, but Minnesota's not playing until 8:30.
Right, so I don't know how serious they're going to be about
I'd be real nervous
keeping
about
their
the
guys
Seahawks
out there. Plus, yeah.
It's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Cincinnati, their game is at 1 o'clock, right?
You're going to make me check?
It's important, actually, because this is one thing. Oh, actually, I guess it is.
It is a 1 o'clock game.
Well, so here's the thing with the Broncos. If the Patriots win at 1, the Broncos are eliminated from the 1 seed. But they are still going to have to play because the Chiefs could win the division if the Broncos lose?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's move on, guys. And I did a Twitter poll yesterday. 972 votes in their primes, Adam Sandler or Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell was the runaway winner at 66%.
That's funny because in their prime, I might have said Sandler.
Well, that was the question.
I would like to say that unless the poll is 8-2-0 versus 8-2-0, I would not participate.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't shocked, but I thought Adam Sandler's underrated because his career has ended so poorly.
It hasn't ended.
Have they seen Pixels? Because Pixels is one of my
Is it any good? Have you seen Pixels?
My final work. I mean, it's about space aliens using video games to come back and attack the Earth. If that's not a good sell, I don't know what is.
Okay.
Would you give it an Oscar, Waterboy?
I would give it 2 cups of water up.
All right. Injuries, news, and notes. Dez Bryant out. He's going to need surgery on his foot and his ankle. So we'll talk about him going into next season. He'll be interesting.
They're saying it's not going to impact his offseason program.
Andrew Luck has been ruled out, so we still don't know. Ryan Lindley, Josh Freeman, Stephen Morris, their options for the Colts.
It's not Stephen Morris.
Oh, that sucks,
Zach
man.
Morris ahead of Stephen Morris.
I really was hoping it would be Stephen Morris.
Really? Big Kane, too? I'm surprised to hear you say that.
It's going to be Lindley.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has elbow and back issues. Does that impact your ranking of Ryan Fitzpatrick at all?
He makes me a little nervous this week, to be honest with you, because his numbers on the road have been awful. And
you
know how Rex is going to treat this game. And it sounds like, some of the guys at least are going to play for him. So if you've been starting Fitzpatrick all along, you start him. But I think he's a low end number one as opposed to a high end number one this week.
And I like him a lot. I think Buffalo's defense is banged up and battered. Their secondary is down to backups, Chargers style. I think Fitzpatrick could have a 3-touchdown game.
Hope you're right.
Me too.
Okay. Moving on. Steve Smith says he's going to play again next season. Brian Hoyer is going to play this week. Hoyer or Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick, but I would start Hoyer over Russell Wilson.
Okay.
I'm debating the Wilson-Hoyer quarterback ranking.
Marshawn Lynch will not play this week.
Julian not playing the playoffs either, according to Pete Carroll.
Has he played his last game?
May have.
Julian Edelman, unlikely to play, according to CSN New England. Danny Amendola was limited at practice. Hey, Tyler Eifert will play this week. That's good news. They tough matchup, but how do you like Tyler Eifert?
He is the last number one tight end in my rankings.
Dave, how do you like Tyler Eifert?
I actually haven't even ranked him yet.
All right, what do you think
about it? I haven't thought about it. I would imagine he'll be good for 6 or 7 fantasy points.
Marcus Mariota.
I think Cincinnati's going to run a lot.
Marcus Mariota ruled out. And do you expect the following players? Amir Abdullah. Amari Cooper.
Yep.
Yeah, but...
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Green Bay's tackles.
Don't know.
Gotta wait and see.
Offensive tackles, that is. And how about Jason Verrett?
Didn't practice on Wednesday. Okay. I would imagine it doesn't look good for him.
That's a big one. All right, well, listen, I hope by now you've heard what I've been saying about Stamps.com. It's really a perfect service for small businesses and anyone who does a lot of mailing or shipping. You don't want to be wasting time online at the post office. It's boring. It's a waste of time. You're sitting there with, I don't know. Luckily I have like an iPhone and I can listen to music, but the last time I went to the post office, it was excruciating and I never want to do it again.
How long were you there for?
20 to 25 minutes online. It was really bad. I was waiting to mail passport document. Yeah, no, it was, I'm serious. Like I don't mail that much stuff, but if I did, absolutely. Stamps.com, the better way to go. You can get postage for any letter or package right from your desk the instant you need it. Join over 500,000 small businesses that use Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use our promo code. It's FFT. You get a 4-week trial, a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. So go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in FFT. That's Stamps.com. Enter FFT. Time for three you like and three you don't like for the AFC home games. Dave's three. We'll start with C.J. Anderson going up against San Diego. You like C.J. Anderson?
I like him. I don't love him. I still think it's going to be a cluster with how the Broncos use their running backs, but Anderson seems like the better of the two. If the game's a blowout, and I think it will be, then he could be charged with killing the clock in the second half. I like the way he's been playing more than Hillman. They'll probably end up with similar touches, but I think Anderson can outperform him. I think he's a low-end number two fantasy running back.
Would you rather start C.J. Anderson or Danny Woodhead?
Woodhead in a PPR, but not in a standard.
Okay. And you like Brian Hoyer this week?
I definitely like Brian Hoyer. It's just a matter of whether or not I would start him ahead of Russell Wilson. I think I could talk myself into it. Let's see if I can do it. Dave, he's taking on Jacksonville. The Texans have to win, and they don't have that great of a run game, and Jacksonville's going to find a way to put up points. And you might say, yeah, it's Brian Hoyer, but you know what? Hoyer's been putting up some good numbers, and he's played well at home. And you know DeAndre is going to get his, and Nate Washington should get something going in this game. And again, those running backs aren't going to help him. I think he can get you to 20 to 22 fantasy points. But then again, Russell Wilson's got upside. Look at how well he's played. Yeah, but he might not play that much. I'm kind of hungry. I wonder if my wife bought deli meat this week. I could go for like a nice big, tall BLT.
You know, Dave, Jacksonville.
Where
Jacksonville has recently allowed Phillip Rivers, Mariota, and Drew Brees to score 34 fantasy points or more. Good case to be made for Brian Hoyer this week. I think he is the 20th most expensive quarterback in FanDuel, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a good play in FanDuel.
And this one, Kamar Aiken, you like. How much do you like him going up to at Cincinnati?
I just continue to like the targets, and I think Baltimore will play from behind, so I think there's a good opportunity for Aiken, who has averaged 6.4 catches and little more than 76 yards per game since the Ravens bye. I think he can do better than that against Cincinnati.
All right, Jamie, let's look at the three you like. I thought you were a little crazy last week with Frank Gore, but I said, you know, Jamie is a great analyst. I'm going to start Frank Gore against Jamie in our Fantasy Football Today championship, and it was great advice. But you like him again going up against Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's really the lone thing I think you count on for the Colts offense because of what their quarterback situation is. And you saw it play out last week with Hasselbeck getting hurt and then Charlie Whitehurst getting hurt as well. I don't think you're going to get that type of game of, you know, 95 total yards and two touchdowns, but I do think that he can get you double digits in fantasy points with the chance to score. Now, he had his second best game of the season was against the Titans. It was earlier this year. And Tennessee's run defense to me is a little bit of a myth. They've done some good things. They've also done a lot of bad things.
Well, but they've been pretty good recently.
No, they have. But some of the teams that they've been good against have been very mediocre. I mean, the two teams against the Texans were bad. That's a bad run team, you know, to begin with. The Jacksonville is bad, and T.J. Yeldon scored a touchdown against them.
Yeah.
So I think the thing that I like about Gore is he's 109 yards away from making it 9 years in his career with 1,000 yards rushing. There's only five guys besides him who have done that at least 9 times. They're all Hall of Famers. So I think that matters to Gore. I think he'll get enough work that he can get there. And it would snap a streak of 49 games of the Colts not having a running back get to 100 yards. At home, I think they're still going to win this game. I think they're still going to go all out because they still have an outside shot, very unrealistically, but an outside shot to make the playoffs. So I think Gore is going to be the catalyst of this offense. Very similar to Darren McFadden with the Cowboys, how he's been running.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Gore goes out with a good game. Could be the last game of his Colts short tenure.
Where'd you put him?
Oh, he's top 12 guy.
Whoa.
I'm outside of my top 12.
Whoa. Guys, Frank Gore was...
Well, running back stink this week,
He was so miserable before the Dolphins game. And Tennessee's a lot better than Miami.
Yeah, but I think Tennessee's checked out. There's nothing that makes me confident in Tennessee whatsoever.
All right.
I'll tell you what the difference is for me, is that Ryan Lindley or somebody like Ryan Lindley is going to be the quarterback for Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Mularkey even talked about it with the Colts media this week when he did his conference call. He knows that they're down to nothing at quarterback, and he told them, listen, we know what to expect. They're going to want to run the football. We'll be ready for it. I'm nervous about Gore getting to 109 yards because it probably means he's going to need like 30 carries.
Oh, well, I would be surprised if he gets 40.
40 carries?
Yeah, I mean, it's just run, and run some more.
If they do that, then he's absolutely going to finish as a top 12 running back.
Yeah.
But they haven't done it yet, and I wonder if there's a chance that this game, it's not going to be conducive to Gore getting 20-plus carries.
So the Titans are going to come in with Zach Bettenberger and just up against a Colts defense that's been playing well.
What's Indianapolis doing on third and long?
The same thing every team's doing on third and long. They're throwing.
Except they're going to be picked off or incomplete because it's Ryan Lindley under center and not Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh,
not even.
I mean, so it's going to be, it's
if it was Charlie Weider.
Because of both these quarterbacks are
okay, terrible. Well, that doesn't help Frank Gore either.
Very fair.
I'm a little worried about him. I like him as a number two running back. I would not go crazy over Gore. I would love to see him get to 1,000 yards this season, but I think he missed that opportunity with how he fared in his previous 15 games. So I'm not as optimistic as Jamie.
Okay. Nate Washington is somebody you like, Jamie, and that's, you know, pretty slick play there. I saw it and I was like, really? Nate Washington? And you make a good point, so go for it.
Three games that Cecil Shorts has missed, three games Nate Washington has scored. Now two of them have come against the Titans. You know, you want to look at motivation, face his former team. That's fine. But I think you look at the targets that he's gotten when Cecil Shorts has been out, and you look at the matchup. I mean, Jacksonville's awful. So, must-start guy, no. FanDuel play, absolutely. And certainly a very good number three receiver this week.
And finally, Keyshawn Martin, just looking for a Patriots wide receiver. Who do you like better, Keyshawn Martin or Nate Washington?
I like Martin better because I like the quarterback better. But he's got 11 targets from Brady last week. The Dolphins are absolutely horrible. There is a lot of drama going on with that Dolphins team right now, and especially with their secondary with Brent Grimes. So I don't expect them to even show up, even though they're at home. And I think Brady is 364 yards away from 5,000, and he will get it against that Miami defense. So go all in on Brady this week.
Brent Grimes better play well this week. You know, like,
well, he's playing for his new team because he ain't coming back to Miami.
Well, what a ridiculous situation. Like, it's ridiculous. All right. Anyway,
just remember that when you get married, Adam.
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen to you.
What if she said something bad about one of you two?
Well, you got divorced.
She'd probably be right.
All right. Three you don't like. Dave's three. Amari Cooper. Let's start with him. You don't like Amari Cooper this week.
He's banged up. I think we all kind of noticed that last week against San Diego. When he only had two catches for 10 yards, he's trying to gut it out through the injury. Maybe he's not even a lock to play. I'm sure he'd like to play, but I don't know if you can count him to be even as effective as Michael Crabtree. I've got Crabtree ranked higher this week.
Okay. And Denard Robinson. We're done with Denard Robinson.
It sounds like the Jaguars could be done with Denard Robinson too, because there's talk that Jonas Gray is going to get a look. And, against Houston, I don't know if I like it, whether it's Robinson or Gray. I don't think either one is really going to help your fantasy team thrive. I don't think either one is good in daily play. We've seen 2 weeks of Denard Robinson. I'm guessing last week he was a bust because of the injury, and maybe he was a bust because of the injury 2 weeks ago too. I think that was when he got hurt. So I think the Jaguars running backs are donezo.
All right, now, you don't like T.Y. Hilton. It's kind of interesting because it is a great matchup. Tennessee just has an absolutely terrible pass defense, and the last six outside wide receivers against Tennessee, five of them had over 100 yards. That includes Allen Robinson twice. And Brandon LaFell had four catches for 88 yards, which is like a 500 yards for Brandon LaFell. the matchup's great, but it's just the quarterback's just too bad for Hilton.
How many games has Ryan Lindley thrown even one touchdown in his career?
One.
Correct. How many starts does he have in his career?
Seven.
Be Lindley over Freeman.
Six. I think it's going to be Lindley over Freeman.
I think it's going to be Freeman over Lindley.
Even so, he sucks too. It's a nightmare for Hilton. Start him as a flex. If he does better than last week, then you should send a fruit basket to whichever quarterback starts, because they'll need it, because they're not making any money, because they'll be out of the street and out of a job. They'll need food to eat and survive. And you can thank them for having T.Y. Hilton get good numbers.
How about Hilton or Kamar Aiken?
Aiken.
Hilton or Amari Cooper?
I'll take Hilton over Cooper. Okay. I'll take the receiver who's healthy with a crappy quarterback over the banged up receiver with a tough matchup.
Hilton or Sharkandrick West?
West.
All right, Jamie, let's get three you don't like and start with Lamar Miller. You're very, very high on the Dolphins this week, huh?
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to really show up and come to play. I mean, look, if he doesn't score a touchdown last week, we're talking about another miserable, miserable performance for this guy. So I would imagine you're going to get more looks for Jay Ajayi. The Patriots' run defense has done well. He does not have a good history against New England. He had the touchdown earlier this season, which gave him 7 fantasy points. You know what it's like when you score a touchdown and you don't get the 10 fantasy points. That's not a good day.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not think that with the Patriots having to play this game to lock up the number one seed, you cannot rely on Lamar Miller this week. He is not a top 24 running back.
Would you be wacky enough to start Alfred Blue over Lamar Miller?
Not that wacky.
Okay. You don't like Tyrod Taylor going up against the Jets?
No, I mean, Tyrod Taylor, I think we know that he can play well in good matchups. He's had some good moments against some tougher opponents. Kansas City would be one. But the Jets, they have to play this game. I think they're going to go all out. He struggled in the first matchup against them. It was on a Thursday night. He's down weapons. The last week's game against Dallas was his first game without Robert Woods and Charles Clay, and you saw the result. He didn't play very well. And look, Darrell Revis may not be the same guy, but he's going to make things tough on Sammy Watkins. So take that into account when you're starting Watkins this week. So I think it's going to be a tough day for this Buffalo pass attack. They're going to try and make it ugly, run the ball, try and control the clock. I think Taylor is a safe number two quarterback if you're still playing in two quarterback leagues. But in a one quarterback league or FanDuel, get as far away from Tyrod Taylor as you possibly can.
Now, let me just bring this up with Taylor. I obviously wouldn't be excited to start him, but you mentioned that they're going to try to run the ball. Well, last week they did run the ball pretty well against Dallas, and he only threw 18 passes. But I just wonder, are they going to be able to run the ball against the Jets? The Jets have the best run defense.
But they're going to try. But the Bills have the best rush offense in the NFL, so that's going to be what their MO is.
Okay, so you just don't...
And like, they might be okay. Like, they might get some decent yardage. I just don't know how effective they'll be in the end zone.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry for not asking this earlier. Is LeSean McCoy going to play?
No,
doesn't look like it.
Okay. And finally, Jamie, you do not like Latavius Murray in the last game of the season. You liked him last week, but not so much this week.
Well, last week he had an easy opponent to face. This week he does not. So he's still a number two running back, but it's kind of going with this whole, why is Frank Gore a number one guy? Well, Latavius Murray in a normal week would not be a number two guy. Kansas City did a good job against him the last time these two teams met, and I think they'll do a great job against them this time around, because without Amari Cooper in there, this offense is going to be stripped down again, and the Chiefs still have something to play for. They're chasing that AFC West title, and I think they'll go all out to win the game. I don't think Latavius Murray is going to help you very much. So I would take Frank Gore over Latavius Murray 10 out of 10.
All right, so if they win the AFC West, the Chiefs would probably be the 3 seed?
Not if the Bengals lose.
Then they'd be the 2?
Yep, I think so.
I'm gonna say the Bengals win. So the 3 seed would face potentially the Jets, maybe?
The Jets or the Steelers.
The Jets or the Steelers, and the 4 seed would get the Broncos.
Yep.
Oh, well, actually, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right, hey, like I said, Brian Hoyer, FanDuel, 20th most expensive quarterback. Great matchup. Could win you a lot of money. FanDuel.com is the leader in one-week fantasy football. You can play fantasy and win money. What more do you want? Now, your season may be over, but not over on FanDuel.com. And remember, FanDuel actually continues into the NFL postseason, so you can play even longer, and you can play NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football for a little while longer. We love FanDuel. Make a lineup, put on Red Zone, watch your team win you some money. You will love it too. Make Sundays a lot more exciting, I'll tell you that. So go to FanDuel.com and sign up right now. Contests start at just $1. Very little financial commitment here, and really just a ton of fun. You'll love FanDuel. Give it a shot if you haven't already. The Jets are at the Bills. Let's get to the games. 22-17 Buffalo in the first meeting on a Thursday. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jamie, say you don't like him that much. Is he outside your top 12?
No, he's still a top 12 guy because, as Dave said, the matchup is great. But, you know, it's going on the road where he's been bad. I don't know if he's had a 20-point game on the road this year since.
Yeah,
the
I think he's only won one. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry?
Well, the Giants, if you want to count that.
Yeah, but that was...
Right, that's a home game. You know, so he's struggled on the road. You know Rex is going to make things tough for him. He made things tough for him the last time when it was in his building. So I think you look at, he'll have a, the way I would envision it, 300-2-2 game, which is very good. I mean, you know, he's, like I said, he's still a starter.
20 fantasy points.
He's still a top 12 quarterback. But I wouldn't expect this to be one of his better games because of the Rex Ryan factor. If you buy into that, fine. If you don't, then you just look at his road numbers and hope that he, you know, does better than he's typically been on the road, which has not been very good.
Keep in mind that one of those road games involved him getting hurt.
And then another, that one out. Right. The rest of them have been bad.
Okay, so, and then we're not counting the one against the Giants as a road game. So no. He's only played 5 road games this year, right. And only one of the 5
has been good.
As he had over 20 fantasy points, he had 19 in another, 17 in another. I don't know. I look at this Bills defense.
And they can run on Buffalo.
I think they can run on Buffalo too, but I don't think they... I think they're going to be diversified in their offense as they have been all year.
He's also banged up, you know, and he had to clarify that he's going to play. That's never a good thing when you say, I'm going to go out there and play.
Well, if he practices in time, I think he'll be fine. And I can't ignore who he's going to play against because Buffalo's all beat up. If Ronald Darby doesn't play cornerback, then they are definitely down to second stringers there. Safeties are bad. Pass rush is just meh. He's going to have time to throw. I think there's a chance he can get 3 touchdowns. And like, both, that's a good FanDuel quarterback.
You both have him ranked ahead of Aaron Rodgers. Jamie
yeah,
only
shows you where Rodgers is too.
One spot, but yeah. All right, Dave, tell me how you're approaching the Jets running backs in this game.
I've got Ivory ranked higher, and I think I have him unnecessarily ranked too high in my running back ranks, but I think that just speaks to how I feel about the position this week and how I don't really think there's a lot of great options. I think... he's really more of a number 2 fantasy running back, but by default, he's ending up as a number 1 guy for me or close to it. And I think there's a chance, Jamie said it, that they could run the ball a decent amount. That would help Ivory. I think it's a better game for him than it is for Bilal Powell. And I've been saying it all along. The Bills' run defense is terrible, and I expect that to continue.
Okay. Now, I think Powell. Powell, people have been relying on him a little bit in PPR leagues, so... Powell. And
you know what? Even in standard leagues, he's good enough to start as a low end number 2.
Would you guys rather start Latavius Murray or Bilal Powell?
I'd go Murray.
I'd go Murray in standard, Powell in PPR.
Okay. How about the Jets wide receivers? They're both in the top 10, so
yeah,
start them.
You know what to do with them.
Tyrod Taylor, I think we discussed enough, and the Buffalo running backs. So this is the Jets who allowed the second fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. What do you think about Carlos Williams and Mike Gillisley? Jamie?
I think they're kind of Latavius Murray-esque. You're starting them because of the upside that they have if things go right. But I don't know if this is going to be one of those games where things go right. So, with the fact that they eat away at each other, I think Williams is a number 2 guy as opposed to number 1 and a middle number 2 guy because Buffalo does do such a great job running the ball. And Gillisley, I think, is, number 3 guy. If you're desperate for a flex option, I'd be okay with him there.
How about rank the 4 running backs in this game in a standard league first?
I would go Ivory, Williams, Powell, Gillisley.
As would I.
And PPR.
Williams, Powell, Ivory, Gillisley.
I'd probably go Williams, Ivory, Powell, Gillisley.
Williams, Ivory, okay. Sammy Watkins, 3 catches, 14 yards on 7 targets in the first meeting. What do you expect from Sammy Watkins this week?
First of all,
what he gave you last week.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have a great game, but I think he's going to do a lot better than 3 for 14. And I feel like we got lucky when we ranked him low for that game against the Jets. It was on a Thursday, so you kind of knew what to expect as far as receivers go. And Revis was playing, but on the very first play, if Taylor was on time with a pass, Watkins could have potentially had a long touchdown. And I think that Watkins will be confident, and I think they're going to try and go over the top on the Jets defense. They're not going to be afraid of Darrell Revis, but I bet Revis gets help.
I would be shocked if he did not get help,
yeah.
given what
he can't go offense. One-on-one with Watkins.
Look what the offense is for Buffalo right now. I mean, are you afraid of Chris Hogan?
So last week, 5 catches, 84 yards. Only
yeah,
six
I
targets.
Think, I mean, look, there's
I
always,
think he can get you there.
There's always the touchdown potential. I think his floor is 8 points.
Okay. All right, Jets DST is number 8 for Jamie, number 9 for Dave. We go to Tennessee and Indianapolis. This was a bonanza in week 3, 35-33. The Colts won the game. So Frank Gore, we have discussed. Frank Gore, Carlos Williams, guys.
I'll go Williams.
You said Williams, Dave. How about you, Jamie?
Gore.
And T.Y. Hilton, kind of a low-end number 2 or a flex. Would you start any Tennessee players other than Delanie Walker?
Nope.
I would try to not start Dorial Green-Beckham. 2 weeks ago, 6 catches over 100 yards. Last week, 0 catches.
But that was Kendall Wright coming back, though. If Wright's out, he's been better. Targets have definitely been up for him when Wright has been out. And he did score against the Colts in the last matchup
so
on Vontae Davis.
Could you say that he's the number 3 receiver?
I think he's a low-end number 3. I mean, I would agree with you. It's risky to trust him week 17 if you're still playing in week 17. But if you're in a deeper league, you know, transactions are locked, and he's a guy you picked up. We had a lot of those leagues. A lot of those questions.
Now, let's talk about that Titans running game, because it looks like Bishop Sankey's going to get a chance.
They're going to go with David Cobb.
They could go with anybody they want. They're
not going with Antonio Andrews, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Indianapolis is terrible against running backs, so is there a sneaky FanDuel play in there? Who would you go with? Jamie, you'd go with Cobb?
In FanDuel, I would rather not set a lineup with a Titans player.
You know what? You know what I like about the Titans? They have a good tandem in the backfield, Chris Johnson and Lindell White. Oh, wait.
Eddie George.
I like Eddie George.
Yeah, they can't.
You know, the franchise once had Earl Campbell running for
them. That's true. That the franchise was very successful with him.
Hmm.
Now, Delanie Walker is number 2 for Dave in PPR and standard. And
I think he bounces back.
4 for Jamie, so. If you have Zach Miller or Zach Ertz, they have great matchups. There's a case to be made, but Walker's a great start this week. And the DSTs are not bad either. Colts DST is number 8 for Jamie, number 10 for Dave. I talked about this on Tuesday. They are getting a ton of sacks lately. And look, Tennessee, obviously, they're not great offensively. And
7 turnovers the last 2 weeks.
Wow. And the safety. Does that count as a turnover? It must.
Does a safety count as a turnover?
Yeah.
Well, you have to give the ball back after it happens. It should.
It's not an interception. It's not a fumble. So, no, I don't think it does technically count as a turnover.
It's not a takeaway?
It's a takeaway, I guess, in the sense of it's a scoring play.
But you get the ball. You get the ball back. You get the ball.
Yeah. I don't know how that's rolled.
Interesting.
A turnover. Look at that. It was right there in Google. I'd have to actually read stuff to see if that's
Tennessee's DST is number 13 for both of you guys. They're bad, but, you know, you're just hoping against that Colts offense. All right, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. And first meeting wasn't even close. Roethlisberger had a huge game. He actually didn't start. He came in relief of Landry Jones and scored 33 fantasy points. The score was 30-9. Jamie, I know you love Big Ben. You got him number 3 this week. And he, not including the St. Louis game in which he got hurt, he's averaging 14 fantasy points per game in 4 road games. Great matchup. What do you think about Big Ben?
Yeah, it's, you know, bucking the road trend with him because, like you said, he's been bad on the road. And last week, you know, it reared its ugly head. But I do think that, you know, back to the wall, I think he's just going to, you know, go all out and have one of his better games in a while, which says a lot because he's been pretty good for the most part. So, or better road games in a while, I should say. So I think you're still starting him, and I think he has. This could be a 3-4 touchdown type game for Roethlisberger. Cleveland's and awful.
Dave, you have Roethlisberger 8th.
Yeah, he does not have a great track record against Cleveland, and I think that this is a matchup that D'Angelo could dominate in.
So listen, D'Angelo Williams is your number 1 running back, and look, I get it. I wish there was like a more of a fringy running back. But Cleveland is actually doing better against the run. They've allowed 1 rushing touchdown, 1 receiving touchdown to running backs in their last 8 games. And I think the big reason why, they are not allowing big plays. No carry longer than 22 yards in their last 8 games, excluding Mohamed Sanu at a 25-yard carry. It's kind of interesting. I will never tell you to sit D'Angelo Williams, but just kind of want to see what happens because they're doing better against the run.
But I mean, you know, he's so involved in the offense. It's hard to get away from.
No, he's the man. Brown, you're starting.
Like, I can understand, you know, David Johnson or Devontae Freeman or those guys ahead of him if you want to go that route.
It's maybe more of a daily thing. Martavis Bryant, though. What do you guys think about him? Would you feel comfortable starting Martavis Bryant?
Big bounce back game for him. You look at the targets. Last week was the first time he's been under seven since he's come back. It was shocking that they went away from him as much as they did. I don't think Cleveland's going to have anything close to a member of the secondary that can keep up with him. So I think he bounces back in a big way. And maybe to the level of what he did the last time against them, you know, 130 yards and a touchdown.
I think, but you got to look at him as a number two receiver.
Yeah.
You can't put him in your top 12. You can't expect him to put up number one type numbers.
He's gone three games without touchdown.
They were actually mad at him. Roethlisberger called him out on the radio for not making a play at the end of the game last week.
Oh, he's not, he drops a lot of passes. Like, he doesn't great plays. He makes great plays after the catch. I feel like he does not make great catches. But anyway, Travis Benjamin.
He's definitely inconsistent there. More inconsistent this year than I thought he would be.
To the Browns, Travis Benjamin, low end number three for Jamie, low end number four for Dave. He's been terrible lately.
No, he's too high. I haven't adjusted it with Manziel out.
Okay, right, Manziel out. So
right, we've got Stone Cold Austin Davis.
So what about Gary Barnidge, guys? Can you trust Gary Barnidge?
I think he's still. He's not the same, but you're still starting him if you can't find a better tight end. I would definitely go with the Zach brothers ahead of him.
Okay,
you got Zach Ertz, you've got Zach Miller. Pick them up, put them in your lineup this week. Barnidge can't be used in daily. There's not a whole lot to hang your hat on with him.
Okay, Barnidge or Kelsey?
Kelsey.
I think I have Kelsey right there.
Pittsburgh DST.
I haven't adjusted Barnidge either yet, so what you're looking at is pre-Manziel.
I do have Barnidge ahead of Kelsey.
All right, Pittsburgh DST, but they suck against tight ends, by the way, but Pittsburgh DST, they're number 11 for Jamie, number 12 for Dave. Let's go to the upset of the week, New England at Miami. 36-7 on a Thursday in the first game. All right, Lamar Miller, you guys are trying to avoid.
Don't you think that that's going to be a similar type of score this week?
No, I don't. Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker, how do you feel about them this week?
I mean, they're going to get targets. They will definitely have opportunities.
You got to make sure Landry's healthy. He's dealing with a knee problem that's been keeping him out of practice the last few weeks. Obviously, he's played through it, but again, meaningless game. Does he play his usual allotment of snaps? I think he's proven to be a number two guy based on targets. And Parker is still kind of contingent on, to a certain level, Rishard Matthews, but you've seen the production for the last five games, at least 8 fantasy points.
And I think that's kind of the ceiling for him against Malcolm Butler, and I would imagine that Butler will assign himself to Parker.
That's usually what they do. They put him on the second best guy.
Right. And so Landry in the slot, that seems like a pretty easy cover for a couple of guys for New England. And I think they're going to be able to do a decent job against them. Landry has not had a monster game against the Patriots yet in his career.
Okay.
He had 8 for 99 last year.
Yeah.
Would you start?
Points. I think that's what you're looking for from Landry.
He's in the Sammy Watkins range.
That's fair. And then I actually think Watkins might have a little more upside. And then in PPR, you know Landry's going to be better than that.
Would you start Keyshawn Martin over Landry or Parker?
Yeah,
over Parker, not Landry.
I'll take him over both.
I feel like, are you overreacting though from one game where Keyshawn Martin got 11 targets? He had 4 targets in each of the previous two games.
Well, look who was playing then.
What do you mean?
I guess you could put Landry ahead of Martin.
Those guys have been hurt. Edelman and Amendola, they've been hurt. And Martin.
Yeah, I think that's why
he's playing in that spot.
I'm buying into Brady chasing 5,000 yards. So I think Martin has a better game than Parker, but I think Landry has a better game.
I'm just going to buy into Brady trying to win the game. And I don't think they're going to win it with Steven Jackson.
No, but this team is so bad against tight ends. Like Gronkowski could easily have 2 touchdowns. James White.
Oh, for sure. That's why Martin's a number three receiver. But like I said, I think if you tell me he's getting, what would you say? So he had 11 last week against the Jets in a game that was nip and tuck. You figure what, he's going to get 8 or 9 targets this week if the other guys are out as a slot receiver?
So that's like 6 or 7 catches.
I just, like.
10 yards per, I think that's your floor is 70 yards.
But why am I going to assume that he's going to get 8 or 9 targets when he got 4 at Houston and 4 against Tennessee? Just think it'll be a closer game? No, you think it's going to be a blowout. I mean, they could be running the ball in the second half.
That's why Steven Jackson made my top 48.
Well, tell me what you think about you guys love Brady. He's second for Jamie. He's fourth for Dave. Tell me what you think about the Patriots running backs.
I think you know what to expect from James White at this point.
And Deion Lewis had a big game against them earlier this season.
I think he'll find another touchdown. He's touchdown dependent, but he's been getting it done. I think you can buy in. And
I'm
think
telling you, I said it on the waiver wire show. Steven Jackson's a sneaky play this week.
It's a stupid sneaky play.
Yep.
The thing that I'm worried about is that he might end up getting 15 carries, but 45 yards.
And two touchdowns.
Maybe he scores. Does that thing in the end zone where he throws the ball in the air and then he like acts like he punches it. That's like his little move when he scores.
So Steven Jackson's going to get two touchdowns. Tom Brady is going to get over 300 yards, and I'm sure there will be some
364 yards.
Right. All right. Just better have a blowout.
Well, I mean, Tannehill will turn the ball over 10 times.
And the Patriots and DST. Patriots DST is number 4 for Dave, and number 4 for Jamie, and number 2 for Dave. Baltimore at Cincinnati. 28-24 Ravens in week 3. Let's start with the Ravens and talk about Javoris Allen. What do you think about Buck Allen this week, guys?
He's okay. Not great.
That's a good way to put it.
Normal week for running backs. He's in the number 3 range. But his receiving ability saves him.
And I've seen at least the Bengals kind of wear down against the run over the last few weeks. So I'm a little optimistic on Allen, actually. I think he could have a pretty decent game.
Okay, Allen or Lamar Miller?
Allen.
Allen.
Allen or Jeremy Hill in this game?
Hill.
Yeah.
Allen PPR.
Allen definitely in PPR. The thing that you got to like about Jeremy Hill is that he should have a good chance to score. And I think Cincinnati coming home so much on the line, I think they get real physical with Baltimore's front and they run it.
Buck Allen or Kamar Aiken in a flex?
Aiken.
Especially in PPR.
All right, over to the Bengals here. AJ McCarron just outside the top 20. So even though he's got a great matchup, not too high on him. And the Cincinnati running backs. Okay, we'll just get it out of the way. You're not starting Giovanni Bernard, right?
Right.
No way.
And Hill, like, what are your expectations, Jamie, for Jeremy Hill?
I mean, he's touchdown dependent, so you kind of know what he is, but I think this is a game where Baltimore, I think, is emotionally spent. You know, they had their big win last week. They played to the best of their capabilities. Ryan Mallett is going to show his true color, so they're going to have some short field because of turnovers. They actually had a streak of 6 games in a row with an interception snapped last week, and the Ravens snapped a 6-game streak of throwing an interception last week. So I think Ryan Mallett gets turnover prone in this game. And Hill has a chance for one of those 45-yard, 2-touchdown type of games.
I don't think he'll be that good. I think he'll be like 60 or 70 yards max with a touchdown.
All right, so I looked at A.J. Green. It's hard to nitpick here because you have him as the number 10 wide receiver in standard and 10th for Jamie in PPR, 13th for Dave in PPR. And I just wondered if it was too low for A.J. Green. He had 227 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first game. Baltimore allows the second most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. Green has 5 touchdowns in his last 5 games. So, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting to see. He's only 10th.
He's got a quarterback with a bad wrist, and, you know.
But it's his non-throwing wrist.
Still, I mean.
Could fumble a snap that could take away a target from him.
He gets a bad hit, and he's out.
That's fair. I just think that they run a lot, and. Listen, everybody's still starting A.J. Green.
Yeah.
Is he a good play in daily fantasy? I don't think he can do 227 and 2 again. I don't think Baltimore puts up that much of a fight. Right. There's no Andy Dalton this time.
Marvin Jones, guys. Any interest in him?
Nope.
Okay. And then Tyler Eifert. Tyler Eifert or Gary Barnage?
It's a good question. I'd probably still go Barnage.
I would too.
Now, Baltimore does allow the third fewest fantasy points to opposing tight ends, so... You still want to see if the Zachs are out there, Zach Miller and Zach Ertz. Would you like start an Austin Seferian Jenkins over Tyler Eifert?
I'd probably start him over ASJ. Mr. Garbage Time Touchdown himself.
No, that's Jordan Matthews.
Yeah.
They're like cousins.
Austin Seferian Jenkins Matthews. That's his full name.
ASJM.
Jacksonville at Houston here as we have 3 games left. Okay. So Brian Hoyer scored 29 fantasy points in the first game. We did talk about him. I'll throw out some more names. Brian Hoyer or Drew Brees?
Brees.
Brian Hoyer or Alex Smith?
Hoyer.
Hoyer or Aaron Rodgers?
It's close for me, but I still got Rodgers at home.
I haven't gone over that game. I do have Rodgers ahead of Hoyer as of now.
Don't start.
I'm going to move Hoyer ahead of Russell Wilson. I've
don't,
decided.
Don't right start Alfred line. Blue. You are moving him ahead of Russell Wilson?
I am.
Okay. Don't start Blue. Start Hopkins. And Nate Washington is, you know, decent play if you, you know, number three receiver, I guess. And Ryan Griffin, number 17 tight. Now, Griffin and Hoyer have some good history, right?
Yeah, they do. It's a good, if you want to play a sneaky stack in FanDuel, Hoyer, Griffin, and Washington could be really cheap, and then you could load up everywhere else.
Now, you put Hopkins in there, too.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So.
But what are the odds that all four of those guys are going to go off for a huge game?
No, look, if you could do Hoyer, Hopkins, and Griffin or something, or Hoyer, Hopkins, and Washington.
Yeah, I'd pick a better tight end.
Yeah, Hoyer, Hopkins, and Washington, maybe not bad.
That might not. That could work.
Because you only got one expensive guy in there. Blake Bortles, sixth for Jamie, third for Dave.
Love them. It's all they can do is throw the ball.
Now, listen, though. In Houston's last eight games, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton, Drew Brees, three bad games, especially Brees and Dalton. Tyrod Taylor was great. Tom Brady had 22 fantasy points, but this is not an easy matchup for Bortles.
Well, it depends. I think you look at what they are. They're going to be chasing points. They can't run. They can't defend. So will he have one of his best games? Probably not. Will he be above 23, 24 fantasy points? I think he's in that range.
Okay. And we're going to avoid the Jacksonville running backs. So what do you make of the Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas thing that's a little difficult to figure out sometimes?
I would probably go with the two receivers over Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I think all three are in play.
Well, I will say this for Allen Hurns. Houston has allowed double-digit fantasy points to a second wide receiver in standard leagues twice this year.
Oh, no. It's better than that.
No times in the last eight.
A touchdown to a secondary receiver in four straight games.
A touchdown to a secondary. So they're doing better against the number ones then.
They're doing better against number ones, yes.
Okay.
But it's a little fluky because the number one guys aren't exactly like elite level number one guys, like what I think you can consider Allen Robinson.
Well, however you want to look at it, Houston has not allowed multiple wide receivers to score double-digit fantasy points at all in their last eight games and only twice all season.
Yeah. I mean, Hurns has scored in two of the last three against the Texans. He's only faced them three times in his career.
I mean, look, most teams don't have a number two wide receiver as productive as Allen Hurns. So it's almost like when you do that stat with the Jets, it's like Eric Decker breaks all those rules every time.
Yep. And so. And the Broncos too.
And Julius Thomas, you guys only have him like eighth or ninth. Just not thinking a big game.
I moved him up a little bit.
He'll be ahead of Barnage now.
Okay. Houston DST, you know, they've been great, but they're seventh instead of like, you know, first. So seventh for both Dave and Jamie.
Sportsline has them number one.
Wow.
But Stephen O and his projections tend to go against Jacksonville every week, and for a lot of the times he's been right because of Bortles with his pick six.
Bortles does turn the ball over, no question. Oakland at Kansas City here. We got two AFC West games to go. Sit Derek Carr. In fact, is there any Oakland player that you feel good about this week?
I'm okay with Latavius because I think he'll get a lot of work. It's not the best matchup for him, but he scored against them earlier this year. He's had at least 16 carries in five straight games, and I think he's got a shot at getting a 10 or 12 fantasy points.
I take the under, but I think he's still got to start. I'd ballpark him about a ceiling of 8.
Looking at the Chiefs, Alex Smith had 28 fantasy points in the first meeting. He owns this team. Yeah, and not only that, like this team is so bad against quarterbacks. Here are the five quarterbacks who did not score 20 fantasy points against Oakland. Peyton Manning, Brock Osweiler, Teddy Bridgewater, Phillip Rivers, and this Aaron Rodgers guy. they've been better lately, but man, like, okay, Jamie, you have Smith 15th, Dave, you have him 20th. Is this a guy that you could look for in FanDuel and maybe get a huge performance from?
Yeah, if you want to go cheap and then load up other places, absolutely. He's got 12 touchdowns in his last four against Oakland. And he's just done well against, you know, it's just one of those fluky things. Like he sees the silver and black and he's like, okay, I'm actually going to be a good quarterback this week. So I mean, Jeremy Maclin should do well. Number one receivers have good track record against the Raiders. So you look there and clearly tight ends have a good track record if he gets Travis Kelce involved. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is another you know, quality game for him, and he, you know, found a way to get you 20 fantasy points last week too. It's always fluky with Alex Smith. You just can't trust him.
Yeah.
But this is a pattern of him against Oakland the last 2+ years where he's found good production against a relatively bad team. That's improving, but for the most part, they've given up production to quarterbacks.
How amped do you think the Raiders defense is going to be for this game? Do you think they're just going to check out, or do you think with the first year head coach, they might actually come out and play a little bit?
If it was a young first year head coach, I think that would be a different story. I don't think Jack Del Rio is going in there to inspire the troops in week 17 when he's ready to play
golf. Yeah, but the players know that he's going to be their coach next year. And if they slack off, Del Rio's the kind of coach that's going
to
say,
Khalil Mack will come to play. He's probably trying to get,
I mean, he's been the generator for this defense.
Sack totals, but the Chiefs know that.
Does it matter? I mean, like, who cares if they're motivated or not? They've been terrible against quarterbacks 10 out of 15 weeks so far.
And that was when they were in playoff contention too.
All right, now looking at the running game, Sharkhandrick West. Dave, what do you think about Sharkhandrick West this week?
I don't want to use him if I can help it. I have a hard time trusting him because there is a split. It may not be a great split, but really he's just not getting the type of work that you want a good running back to have. And he's been, you take away that run he had against Baltimore, and he's been disappointing since he's come back from his injury.
Jamie,
so
how do you feel?
The matchup's great because Oakland's allowed 3 running backs to score in their last 4, but they've also held running backs to under 3 yards per carry over those 4 games. So he's a number 2 running back for me by default.
Jamie, you're a little more optimistic, right?
A little bit, but I feel the same way about him that I do Latavius Murray. It's almost like you're starting him because there's potential there. So gotcha. I like West better than Murray because I like the matchup better for West, but I wouldn't be surprised if Murray's better. I'll put him in the same range, about 8 or 9 fantasy points.
Start Jeremy Maclin and start the Chiefs DST, number 1 for Jamie, number 3 for Dave. San Diego is at Denver. This was a low-scoring game about a month ago, 17-3. Denver won this game. Brock Osweiler, 16th for Jamie, 17th for Dave. The Denver running backs, look, you got to avoid Hillman at this point, right? Would you start C.J. Anderson over either of the running backs in the Oakland-Kansas City game?
No.
I'd start him over Murray.
Okay. Denver wide receivers, what do you think about them going up against San Diego? And as we mentioned, Verrett did not practice yesterday.
I think this is an interesting stack that you could use for FanDuel.
Yep.
Is either Osweiler and Sanders or Osweiler Thomas Sanders. And if you're just not comfortable with Osweiler, well, then you probably wouldn't start both of the receivers, but maybe you could start just Sanders. Because I think the key to them having big games is making a play after the catch. And against a bunch of backups in San Diego, and you want to talk about a team that might come in checked out already for a game, I think the Chargers are it. And I think you could see both receivers play very well. I don't know how many deep balls Osweiler's going to throw, but I could see a lot of, you know, 10 to 15 yard completions that turn into 30 and 50 yard gains.
Emmanuel Sanders or Martavis Bryant?
Sanders.
Bryant.
Emmanuel Sanders or John Brown?
Brown.
Okay. Going to San Diego now. We talked about Woodhead. He's
21st.
We're done. Yeah, he's 21st in standard. He's 20th in PPR. Antonio Gates, 11th and 12th in standard for Jamie and Dave, respectively. 9th for Jamie in PPR, 11th for Dave. So you don't love Antonio Gates. What do you think about him?
DJ Ward may be out again. That's been, when teams have had success throwing on them with their tight ends. So, I mean, it's not, the one thing about Phillip Rivers, you know, he's going to come to play.
Well, yeah, I mean, he won't have a big fantasy day most likely, but he's
going to be on his back.
So Gates is just okay. Let's see, who could we compare Gates to? Obviously the Zachs we like better. How about Kyle Rudolph or Antonio Gates?
I'll take my chances with Rudolph.
Gates. Rudolph is too inconsistent for me to trust.
Okay, Denver DST, number 2 and number 1 for Jamie and Dave. We'll finish off with some questions from the listeners. From Jeremy Roberts, which DST is better this week, the Rams, the Colts, or the Titans?
Rams.
I think I'd say the Colts. I have a feeling the 49ers win. And I think Gabbert has a pretty decent game.
This is from Carlos. Oh, plus, the Rams have a defensive end who doesn't believe in dinosaurs. I know you guys are very interested in that.
Oh, wait, you should tell that story.
Carlos, can you discuss why Doug Martin is ranked higher than Carlos Williams in PPR? Doug Martin obviously going against Carolina. Why is he ranked higher than Carlos Williams in PPR?
I just look at the workload for him, and he's not sharing the ball to the same level as Carlos Williams will.
Okay.
It's close.
All right. Joe Wilson, can we get a Martavis Bryant or Doug Baldwin debate going?
I don't like Doug Baldwin this week, so I would start Martavis Bryant.
Why don't you like him?
Because I don't know if he'll play a full game. I don't know where Patrick Peterson's going to go, because last week he played a little bit in the slot on Randall Cobb. And I think you look at what Arizona's defense as a whole has been. I mean, there's a pretty good track record of how they performed. Cleveland's defense is awful. And I think there's touchdown regression coming for Martavis Bryant.
Okay. This is from Jonathan. Eddie Lacy or Rashad Jennings?
Jennings.
Jennings.
From John. I'm 18 points behind my fiance going into this week. I had Cousins and Hightower on the bench last week. Ouch! All right, so let's help him out. He needs two running backs in a PPR league.
Well, wait. Is this fiance like real deal, someone he wants to spend the rest of his life with and all that?
Then where are we going to give him bad news, bad advice?
Yeah, let her win.
All right, let's say she's
like, what if she celebrates by making a big, huge lasagna?
She's just a monster, Dave, and we want him to destroy her in fantasy.
Then why is he marrying her?
He got forced into it. He got pressured by his parents.
He should win the game and then celebrate by eating a divorce cake or I'm breaking up with you cake. And so he goes to his grocery store. You know how they make custom cakes?
Yeah, I'm breaking up with you.
And it says, screw you, lady. I'm done. P.S. You suck at fantasy. All in the cake. And there's candles. And then he blows out the candles. And then he smashes her in the face with the cake. And then he lives the rest of his life as a fantasy football champion without the monster fiance.
Okay, then let's help out John. He needs two running backs in PPR. David Johnson, Tim Hightower, Denard Robinson, Jeremy Langford, Buck Allen, and Frank Gore.
I would go Johnson and Hightower.
Yeah, I agree.
Barnage or Zach Ertz?
Ertz.
Ertz. Love Ertz.
And then for a flex in PPR.
You can sing that to his chance.
PPR flex, Golden Tate, Denard Robinson, Jeremy Langford, Buck Allen, or Frank Gore?
I would go with Buck.
Gore.
All right. John, good luck. I hope the cake goes well for you. And guys, thank you. We got one more starter sit after this afternoon, and it'll air tomorrow. Dave, are you going to be on that show?
I cannot confirm or deny. There's a chance I won't make it.
Well, Dave, if you don't make it, it's been a fun 2015 season.
Is this the end? The very end?
Of this podcast, yeah.
Until Saturday.
Oh, yeah, until Saturday. That's right. For Dave Richard and Jamie Eisberg, I'm Adam Azer. See you later.
Bye.